I am Neo. Welcome into the Skeptic Arena. Today is July 21st, 2012. The website is theskepticarena.com. Today's topic, A Call for Church-Sponsored Schools by Larry Rice. His essay begins, Most major hospitals in America were started and funded by Christians or the Christian Church. Larry, that isn't such a surprise when one realizes that America didn't start taxing income until 1913. In those days, more money was given to churches than to our government. He writes, Most of the major universities established during the founding of this country, particularly Ivy League schools, were started and funded by Christians or the Christian Church. Larry, see previous reply. He said most orphanages in America were started and funded by Christians or the Christian Church. Childhood education in America was in the hands of parents or the Christian Church until the government took over in the middle of the last century. Larry, I think our government started a little sooner than that. And in the Word document associated with this podcast, I supplied him a link to Public School Government Funded. And here's a quote from that page. The first free public school in America was the Sims Eaton Academy in 1634 in Hampton, Virginia, while the first tax-supported public school in America was in Dedham, Massachusetts. He wrote, Child care has historically been the responsibility of parents, not the government. Larry, what makes you think child care is not still the responsibility of parents? I think you are confusing child care with education. They are not the same thing, Larry. He said, Christians and the Christian Church have tended to pull out of society more and more, recently to the community's loss, failing to be salt and light. Larry, it's not so much that Christians are pulling out of society as much as it is Christians pulling out of Christianity. And then I provided him with a link to questions and answers about Americans' religion. Larry, whether or not that is to the community's loss depends on one's perspective. He said, it is the church's mission and responsibility to share the gospel with, evangelize, and disciple our community. And then he refers us to Mark 16, verse 15. Larry, the Muslims have the same mission. See Surah 61, verse 9. Both religions seek world domination. But Larry, Islam is the only one of the two that's growing. Now Larry quotes Robert Simons from the National Association of Christian Educators. Simons said, Christians must leave all America's children a moral, intellectual, and spiritual heritage. Larry, 0-3. That's not too impressive. Regarding the intellectual heritage, millions of Christians believe the earth is 6,000 years old. That's strike one. Regarding the spiritual heritage, there is nothing to pass on since no evidence for anything outside the natural world has ever been found. That's strike two. Regarding moral heritage, that might be kind of hard to claim when one looks at Christianity's brutal history of death and destruction, including crusades, inquisitions, witch burnings, biblically supported slavery, and a host of other moral embarrassments. Larry, that's strike three. He said public schools actually shelter children from the real world. Larry, you couldn't possibly have it more backwards if you tried. That's why Christians homeschool their broods, to shelter them from astronomy, like the Big Bang, biology, like evolution, geology, like the age of the earth, physics, like the fact that the sun can't stop in the sky, chemistry, like water being turned into wine, and math, pi is not three, history, working on the Sabbath is not a crime, and morals, It is not moral to hold children responsible for the sins of their parents and ancestors. And Larry, a couple of grammar hints. Put the comma inside the quotes, and earlier you should have placed the period after the parentheses. Larry said, the real world being where God controls history and human events. Larry, the what? The real world? Larry, you believe in invisible ghosts. What could you possibly know of the real world? He said, where man was created by God and for God, and where Jesus died for our sin. Larry, about that creation myth, we don't have any evidence to support your claim that humans were created from magic mud. In fact, all evidence supports exactly the opposite, evolution. You know, Larry, that is the subject that has millions of Christians homeschooling their children to shelter them from the scientific evidence of the real world. Larry continues, statistics presented by Child Evangelism Fellowship indicate that 80% of all children in America do not attend church regularly. Larry, remember that link I gave you earlier? The statistics are only headed in one direction, and it isn't the one you hoped for. He said statistics presented by Child Evangelism Fellowship indicate that 85% of all professing Christians became so between the ages of 4 and 14, childhood being the prime time to evangelize. Gee, Larry, I wonder why that is. It couldn't be because Christianity has its greatest chance of success with those who have not yet developed the thinking skills necessary to defend themselves from the threats of eternal torture, could it? He said, many children will never become regular attenders of a local church, and we should not expect them to come to our churches necessarily. Glad you feel that way, Larry. We finally found a point of agreement. He said many parents will, though, send their children to school when they would not send them to church, Sunday school, or vacation Bible school. Larry, it sounds like there is hope after all. He said the church should be moving into, moving within, and reaching out to all areas of the community. Larry, it sounds like you are describing the way cancer grows. Actually, that's a pretty good analogy. He said, we should be going to them, not expecting them to come to us. Virtually all unchurched children attend public day school. Larry, according to that Wikipedia article I referred to earlier, nearly 90% of all children attend public school. According to that Gallup poll I referred to, about 90% believe in God. So not only do virtually all unchurched children attend public day school, the same is true of churched children. He said day school can be a great opportunity and medium for child evangelism. Larry, that's a violation of the First Amendment, as was recently demonstrated in the very public case where a prayer was removed from a public school. The First Amendment is the only thing standing between our democracy and the theocracy that many fundamentalist Christians are working for. Christians like you, Larry. He said, opportunities pass us by each and every day that children gather for school to reach unchurched children, and the church should be seizing the opportunity. Actually, Larry, the Constitution has made it very clear that public school is off limits to evangelizing. There are many other acceptable ways to evangelize. The one you are promoting isn't one of them. Larry said, hundreds of children in our community attend government schools all their life and are never introduced to the truth, the gospel, Jesus Christ, the Bible, the Ten Commandments, the creation account of history, or our Creator, God. Larry, you are full of shit. In America, you couldn't find a school-aged child who hasn't heard of the things you mentioned. Like reality, you wouldn't know truth if you heard it, as proven by your bizarre religious beliefs, which defy every branch of science. And your Ten Commandments are a joke. Our country was founded on Ten Commandments. They are referred to as the Bill of Rights. Most of your Ten Commandments are nowhere to be found in our laws, and the few that are were not originated by Christianity, but came way before desert nomads ever dreamt up that Yahweh spook. Larry said most parents would prefer better schools for their children, nearly 60% according to an article in Education Week, October of 95, and many are willing to even pay for it. Larry, I'm trying to figure out who the 40% are who wouldn't prefer better schools for their children. He said, God's people are commanded to seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will have welfare. Jeremiah 29:7. Larry, why do they need to pray? Doesn't God already know whether or not they are going to pray? What happens to those cities where they don't pray? Do they get plagues? Larry writes, among the many responsibilities of the local church are to 1. Build communities of character, the primary focus being developing character in individuals. Larry, the problem with that is that the character that they build always excludes those whom they cannot force to submit. His list continues. 2. Equip its members to train up their children in the way they should go. And 3. Equip its members to fulfill their vocation. And 4. Guide each individual to put his full faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and to love him with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. Day school can be a vehicle to help accomplish these objectives. Larry, so can church. In fact, that is where that kind of nonsense belongs. Larry said, church-sponsored schools can help bring about the much-needed separation of school and state by encouraging and facilitating removal of children from tax-funded government schools. Larry, I think we all know how you'd feel if some of these church-sponsored schools were Muslim or Hindu. It's pretty obvious that no Christian wants freedom of religion. My evidence? See any of 1,000 different verses in your Bible. You can begin with the first commandment. He writes, according to Bill Bright in his book, The Coming Revival, the spirit of Antichrist rules nearly every public institution. So Larry, why is the Antichrist whipping Jesus' ass in the public arena? I thought you said this guy was all-powerful. Hell, even Allah is kicking his ass. By the end of this century, Islam is projected to be the world's largest religion. At the rate Christianity is fading, you guys will be lucky to be ranked above Scientology. He writes, according to Dr. David Nobel of Summit Ministries in Manitou Springs, Colorado, government schools promote and teach the religion of secular humanism. Larry, 4 things. 1. Get yourself over to a dictionary. Secular humanism is not a religion. It is the exact opposite of a religion. 2. Government cannot promote any religion due to the First Amendment. 3. Secular humanism is not promoted. It is studied, as are many religions. 4. David Nobel is a moron, as are you if you buy into his crap. Larry writes, so would our churches consider the bold undertaking of providing a ministry of early education, starting with kindergarten or first grade and continuing up to 7th or 8th grade, or as much as we have faith for our community, recapturing our role and influence in society and the community, and utilizing the opportunity to share the gospel to all children in our community? Larry, let's hope not. Having centuries of progress undone by superstitious ghost worshipers is the worst thing that could happen to our nation, which is just beginning to find the courage to free itself from the horrible threats of an evil, invisible monster. Now we move to the science segment. Today's topic, molecular alternatives to DNA and RNA, offer new insight into life's origins. Living systems owe their existence to a pair of information-carrying molecules, DNA and RNA. These fundamental chemical forms possess two features essential for life. They display heredity, meaning they can encode and pass on genetic information, and they can adapt over time through processes of Darwinian evolution. A long-debated question is whether heredity and evolution could be performed by molecules other than DNA and RNA. A researcher recently published an article describing the evolution of threose nucleic acids to extend these properties to other so-called xenonucleic acids. Six of these unnatural nucleic acid polymers are capable of sharing information with DNA. One of these xenonucleic acids, a molecule referred to as anhydrohexatol nucleic acid, was capable of undergoing directed evolution and folding into biologically useful forms. Nucleic acid aptamers, which have been engineered through in vitro selection to bind with various molecules, act in a manner similar to antibodies, latching onto their targets with high affinity and specificity. Xenonucleic acids are hardier molecules, not recognized by the natural enzymes that tend to degrade DNA and RNA. Both RNA and DNA embed data in their sequences of four nucleotides, information vital for conferring hereditary traits and for supplying the coded recipe essential for building proteins from the 20 naturally occurring amino acids. Exactly how and when this system got its start, however, remains one of the most intriguing and hotly contested areas of biology. According to one hypothesis, the simpler RNA molecule preceded DNA as the original information conduit. The RNA world hypothesis proposes that the earliest examples of life were based on RNA and simple proteins. Because of RNA's great versatility, it is not only capable of carrying genetic information, but also of catalyzing chemical reactions like an enzyme. It is believed by many to have supported precellular life. Nevertheless, the spontaneous arrival of RNA through a sequence of purely random mixing events of primitive chemicals was at the very least an unlikely occurrence. If the RNA world existed, how did it come into existence? Was it spontaneously produced, or was it the product of something that was even simpler than RNA? This pre-RNA world hypothesis has been gaining ground, largely through investigations into xenonucleic acids, which provide plausible alternatives to the current biological regime and could have acted as chemical stepping stones to the eventual emergence of life. Threose nucleic acid, for example, is one candidate for this critical intermediary role. It does some interesting things, including the molecule's capacity to bind with RNA through anti-parallel Watson-Crick base pairing. This property provides a model for how xenonucleic acids could have transferred information from the pre-RNA world to the RNA world. Nucleic acid molecules, including DNA and RNA, consist of three chemical components: a sugar group, a triphosphate backbone, and combinations of the four nucleic acids. By tinkering with these structural elements, researchers can engineer xenonucleic acid molecules with unique properties. However, in order for any of these exotic molecules to have acted as a precursor to RNA in the prebiotic epoch, they would need to have been able to transfer and recover their information from RNA. To do this, specialized enzymes known as polymerases are required. Nature has made DNA and RNA polymerases capable of reading, transcribing, and reverse transcribing normal nucleic acid sequences. For xenonucleic acid molecules, however, no naturally occurring polymerases exist. So researchers painstakingly evolved synthetic polymerases that could copy DNA into xenonucleic acids, and other polymerases that could copy xenonucleic acids back into DNA. In the end, polymerases were discovered that transcribe and reverse transcribe six different genetic systems. The experiments demonstrated that these unnatural DNA sequences could be rendered into various xenonucleic acids when the polymerases were fed the appropriate xenonucleic acid substrates. The study advances the case for a pre-RNA world while revealing a new class of xenonucleic acid aptamers capable of fulfilling myriad useful roles. Although many questions surrounding the origins of life persist, researchers are optimistic that solutions are coming into view. For the final segment of the show, famous quotes. Today, Henry Havelock Ellis, born 1859, died 1939 at the age of 80. Ellis was a British physician and psychologist, writer, and social reformer who studied human sexuality. He was co-author of the first medical textbook in English on homosexuality in 1897, and also published works on a variety of sexual practices and inclinations, including transgender psychology. He is credited with introducing the notions of narcissism and autoeroticism, later adopted by psychoanalysis. Like many progressive thinkers of his era, he supported eugenics and served as president of the Galton Institute. And now for the quote from Henry Havelock Ellis. Had there been a lunatic asylum in the suburbs of Jerusalem, Jesus Christ would infallibly have been shut up in it at the outset of his public career. That interview with Satan on a pinnacle of the temple would alone have damned him. And everything that happened after could have confirmed the diagnosis. The whole religious complexion of the modern world is due to the absence from Jerusalem of a lunatic asylum.
Are you ready, Bruce?